The last Sunday in the church year is traditionally known as the Festival of Christ the King. And I think it's a celebration that many of us in the modern world find a little bit awkward, a little anachronistic. After all, we don't really care much for kings nowadays. Even the royalists amongst us would probably object to the idea of a monarch having absolute power over his or her kingdom. But there's no getting away from the fact that the word kingdom has been at the heart of much of Jesus' teaching. His opening words of ministry, the kingdom of God is at hand. The Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. Parable upon parable, the kingdom of God is like. We might take away the sort of patriarchal edge by speaking instead of the rule or the realm or the reign of God, but that sense of the rule of the monarch remains. And in our reading today, taken from Jesus' trial, his teaching about that rule or reign of God has finally brought Jesus face to face with the representative of another rule or reign, with Pilate. The representative of another kingdom, of Rome, the empire. And so we hear today a dialogue between Pilate and Jesus. A dialogue about Jesus as king. Jesus has essentially been accused of treason, setting himself up as a king against the rule of the empire. And Pilate asks him if this is so, if Jesus is indeed king of the Jews. And after a bit of to-ing and fro-ing, Jesus makes a profound declaration about the nature of his reign. Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate asks. And the way that we read Jesus' reply crucially shapes how we understand our faith, what it means to be people of King Jesus, people of the realm and reign of God. In some versions of the English language Bible, Jesus' reply is translated, "My kingdom does not belong here." Others have the more ambiguous, "My kingdom is not of this world." And both of these allow a highly spiritualized understanding of the kingdom of God, as if Jesus was saying, you don't get it, my kingdom isn't here. When I talk about a kingdom, it's not part of the world, it's totally elsewhere. It's a spiritual reality, something people can only really experience in the next life or in a deeply personal spirituality. It's an answer that makes sense and fits with a certain understanding of the Christian gospel, that God's realm is elsewhere. This world, this life, is just about getting ready, about getting people saved, so that when they die, they will be able to be with God. It's an answer which makes sense, it's just not the answer that Jesus gave. At least as recorded here in John's gospel. Jesus gave the answer three times. The first two times, the language he used was ambiguous, often and safely translated, "My kingdom is not of this world." But the third time, the phrasing is different. "But as it is," Jesus says, "my kingdom is not," entuthen is the Greek, "from here," or "out of here." It's the word that you use when you say, "go from here," or "get thee hence," to make it sound a little more biblical. Or, as might be said to a stranger, "you ain't from around here." It's the same root word that's used of childbirth. Jesus was born from Mary. Far from replying, "My kingdom doesn't belong here," what Jesus says is much more like, "My kingdom doesn't come from here." This isn't Jesus telling the secular authorities, "Look, we can live happily together. My kingdom is a spiritual one. It doesn't belong here on earth in the messy nuts and bolts of politics and empires and public policy. You look after that side of things. My kingdom belongs to another world." That wouldn't have been a threat to Rome. That wouldn't have got Jesus crucified. Far from being a declaration that his kingdom was no threat to the secular world, Jesus' words read more like a subversive manifesto. "My kingdom, my reign, doesn't come from here, but I was born to be king. It was to be a king I came into the world. And everyone who belongs to the truth hears my voice." The prayer at the heart of the Christian faith begins, "Father in heaven, your name is holy, your reign come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There is a realm elsewhere where God's will rules supreme. And Jesus taught his followers to pray that it would come into this world. "Your kingdom come." And now Jesus says, "My kingdom doesn't come from here, but I came into this world to be a king." The language is more that of the leader of an invading army than of a spiritual guru. Except that's not quite right either. For Jesus links something else to his "not from here" nature of his realm. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. The leader of an invasion from another nation, whether it be an invasion of overt strength or covert subversion, would not be taken without a fight. So we see Jesus accept the label of king, declare that his realm is an invasion from another place, but then in the same breath contrast himself with any military or political leader that Pilate had ever encountered. It's as if Jesus, as he so often did, was answering a question by, in effect, saying, "It's the wrong question." Pilate asks him, "Are you a king?" And Jesus replies, "The question you should be asking is, what sort of king? What sort of kingdom?" And if you want to know what sort of kingdom, you might start by looking at where it has come from, looking at the source of its power and its authority. For if you know where a kingdom draws its power, draws its authority from, you know a great deal about what sort of kingdom it's going to be. The Roman Empire drew its power from order and structure, from the disciplined military, the systems of administration and taxation, the rapid and ruthless suppression of anything that threatened law and order. A great deal was permitted as long as it did not interfere with the smooth running of the systems of empire. Other empires in history have drawn their power from the generation of wealth, whether it be the commercial European empires of the 19th century or the corporate empires of the 20th and 21st. Such empires will again turn a blind eye to many things as long as they do not impinge upon the profit that is their lifeblood. They'll be ruthless in their assaults on anything that does. Going to war over trade routes. And they will be unable to comprehend a leader whose power does not depend upon wealth. As the British were unable to comprehend the power of Mahatma Gandhi. Or today, of course, we face new would-be empires that draw their power from fear and from a sense of us and them, and operate by acts of terror designed to create an atmosphere of mutual distrust, and that will fight anything that seeks to bridge the gap between the in and the out. This is the contrast, this is the challenge that Jesus paints for Pilate. Your understanding of king, he tells him, is shaped by Rome. You cannot imagine a king who doesn't draw his power from an army, who doesn't fight to be kept out of the hands of his enemies. Just as we struggle to understand how anyone could seek power without seeking wealth and influence or political control. I am a king, Jesus says, but my reign doesn't come from the things of this world, doesn't draw its power from those things. It isn't built by power or wealth or structure or order. It doesn't depend upon those. And so it can't be judged by them. It can't be judged by income or population or GDP or geographic extent. My realm, my reign, is here under your nose. The reign of God is at hand. And you can't fight it because you don't understand it. Because it doesn't answer to your weapons. It's not built on the foundations that you value. It doesn't use the tools that you know how to use. The reign of God is from beyond. It draws its strength, its authority, its power from elsewhere. And so it can never be measured by the metrics and the standards of the world. Because you cannot measure an act of sacrificial love. You cannot measure the meaning of sitting down with a homeless man and sharing a meal with him. You cannot measure the joy of a young woman given the opportunity to attend university against all the odds. Or the wonder opened up to children when they're the first generation who have the chance to learn to read. You can't measure the second chance given by reconciliation, by repentance, by forgiveness. You can't measure the ripple effect of those who stand for justice, the difference that they make in the world by acts of kindness and beauty and rebellion. You don't understand the power that flows when a young person rejected because of their sexuality or their gender identity finds acceptance. You cannot measure the meaning of generation after generation faithfully meeting to worship God as a community. You cannot measure these things because they are not the tools you use and understand, but they are the things of the reign of God. They don't come from here. They don't follow the rules of the world. They are even judged as foolishness by those who can see nothing beyond the kingdoms of man. The foolishness of one who would die. The foolishness of one to whom we pledge our allegiance week by week, whose rule and reign do not come from here, but are here and ever will be here. Amen.